Let's continue on, brethren, with the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and let's see some other things that we can read to understand what it is to put out the leaven. That is, to put out sin. Now, let's come to the book of Proverbs, because there are some things here that when we read the Proverbs, what we need to do is read them through the eyes of the Spirit of God within us and apply it spiritually. So let's come to Proverbs 4, and let's begin in verse 14. Now, here's something that's really important to understand. Here is how you resist temptation. You don't get close to it. And just like Paul said, we are to bring every thought into captivity, casting down vain imaginations that exalt themselves against God, and bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus, to the obedience of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10. Or 2 Corinthians 10, rather. That's what we are to do. This is how we are to operate mentally and spiritually living in this world, because around us is the world. Around us is the way of Satan. See, we are not out of the world, but we are not to be part of the world. So here in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, gives us some instruction what we need to do. Verse 13, let's go back up one verse. Keep hold of instruction. Now, all the instruction of the New Testament, keep hold of it. Don't let the leaven of your human nature come along and say, well, you know, a little of this, a little of that, a little of the other thing, you know. Remember, when you think you don't have time to pray, that's when you need to pray. Remember, when you think, oh, I don't have time to study, that's when you need to study. Because stop and think, who is it, as we'll see in a minute, that has called you? And who has given you the Holy Spirit? And God expects you to exercise and use the Holy Spirit so that it will lead you. So keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't go their way. Stop. Turn. Go the other way. Get away from it. Cast the thought of temptation out of your mind. And go not into the way of evil men. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? A little sin leads to more sin. Unless it's repented of, then it will grow. Then it will expand. Then the temptation will come. And then lust comes along and nourishes the thought. And it's really kind of a good thought. And so then, when it finally comes to full fruition, then sin takes place. Here's what you do. Verse 15, avoid it, do not go in it. Turn from it and pass on, for they do not sleep except when they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away from them unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, we eat the bread of righteousness, and that bread of righteousness is Christ. Is that not correct? Yes. And drink the wine of violence, but we drink the wine of God, which is the blood of Christ. Quite a difference, isn't it? See, that's the way of the world. Here is the way we are to walk in. Here is the path that God has called us to. Now notice, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light. And we are to follow Christ, who is the light. We are to come to him who is the light, that shines more and more to the perfect day. And what is that perfect day? The resurrection. All right, let's continue on and see what else we are to do here. Let's come to Psalm 34. Very interesting. The Psalms are also very spiritual and tell us what we need to do and where we need to go. All right? Let's see what we're taught here in Psalm 34. Quite instructive for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now let's begin right here in verse 1. And let's apply this spiritually with the Spirit of God, with the understanding that we have. And this is a Psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. See, you boast in God, not yourself. We'll see this a little later in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in just a minute. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And how do we exalt the name of God? By living the way that he wants us to. And we will see that. We will see the perfection that is talked about, that is pictured by unleavened bread, is to imitate God. And that's why we have the Bible. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and that's what we are to do. Seek the Lord. What did Jesus say? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and you shall receive. And you do this every day continually. And delivered me from all my fears. Now let me tell you something here, brethren. There are a lot of people out there who live in fear. Now, even though all the things that we know are coming at the end time, don't live in fear. Claim the promise of Psalm 91. Don't be afraid to love God. Don't be afraid to claim the promises of the grace of God. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. Now that's a promise we can claim because, listen, you know and I know and we all knew together and we'll admit this together, it is true. We're all going to be confronted with problems and difficulties, correct? Is there any time that we don't have something we need to work on and overcome? No. But God delivers us out of all of them. Notice what else. Here's a blessing that comes. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. God has his angels about you. You have his spirit in you. Now that's tremendous, brother. That is a great and marvelous thing. This is why he says in verse 8, and this ties in with what Jesus said, that you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You don't do it literally. It is the way of Christ. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. No one's going to run up and clomp out a chunk out of God. This means his way. Taste and see by experiencing, by doing, by obeying, by loving that the Lord is good. And remember this. Never forget this in whatever difficulties you are in, that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose and love God. Everything. Don't forget that. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints, for there is nothing lacking to those who fear him. Isn't that something? Let's come down here to verse 12. Who is the man that desires life? All right, let's say, who is the one that desires eternal life? And everyone say, yay, that's me. I want eternal life. All right. And loves many days that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And that's the peace that comes from God. What did Jesus say on the Passover night? Peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give it to you. I give my peace to you. See, so in the midst of all troubles and difficulties and trials, you can still have peace of mind because it comes from God and His Spirit. Now notice what else. Verse 15. Here's a promise. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now we are righteous through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And having God's Spirit in us, don't you think that God's eyes are upon us? So notice, the eyes of the Lord are upon us, His angels are about us. That's why we have nothing to fear. That's why God has called us. It's a tremendous thing, brethren, and that's why the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now notice, and His ears are open to their cry. So that's why it all gets back to what you've heard how many times through the years. Prayer and Bible study and living God's way. That's it, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right. Now, let's see how we are to walk. Let's come to the Epistle of 1 John. Now, this is really very instructive, very inspiring, brethren. And let me tell you what also is important. Your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ through prayer, through study, through living, and through growing and overcoming is the most precious thing that there is. There is nothing greater than that fellowship. There is nothing greater than that relationship. And what you need to realize is that it comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ, who have lived through all eternity. And God is dealing with you, as you will see for the sermon on the Sabbath during Unleavened Bread. God is looking upon us. We are the center of His activity on the earth, in case you didn't understand that. Now notice how far back this goes. John, the first chapter, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, that which we have observed for ourselves and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And remember, John handled him. The apostles touched him after he was resurrected. Now, can you imagine the amazing experience of that? Now, what John is writing here is so that you can understand, and that same kind of understanding and feeling can come to you through God's Spirit, because God's Spirit is eternal. And this is how we come out of spiritual Egypt. And this is how we walk in the way that is true. This is how we become unleavened and become perfect before God. And that's what the feast is all about. Verse 2. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and are bearing witness and are reporting to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. This is a tremendous thing, an eyewitness report of John to us down through all ages. Think of that. Now notice, verse 3, because we are to share in that, we are to understand it. And that's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. That we put away the world. We put away our lust. We put away our sins through Jesus Christ. We grow. We change. We overcome. We build the character of God through a personal relationship with God called fellowship. And fellowship also means partnership. Let's read it. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we're reporting to you in order that you may also have fellowship with us. For the fellowship, the central point of our relationship with God, the fellowship. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His own Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yes, you need to realize it. We need to keep this in mind always. Okay, let's go on. These things we are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And that's how you feel when you're you're growing and overcoming the way God wants you to. Verse 4. These things we, that is, whoever was with John at this time, Andrew, Philip, maybe Mark, are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And this is the message that we have heard from him and are declaring to you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. If we proclaim we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, we are lying to ourselves and are not practicing the truth. Isn't that interesting and profound? You can't claim Jesus Christ and live in sin. You can't claim Jesus Christ, who is to be our light and lead us and guide us, and practice wickedness. An impossibility. Now notice, verse 7. However, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin, continually, every day. That's why every day we ask forgiveness. That's why every day we yield ourselves to God. That's why every day we do the things that we need to do. So keep that in mind. Now let's come over here to 2 John. Let's see something. Let's come over here to 2nd chapter of 1 John. Talks about keeping the commandments, but I want to emphasize verse 5 and verse 6. This is real important. Well, we've got to go back to verse 3, because it all connects together. Though we've heard this many times before, let's understand it more fully with the spiritual understanding concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And by this standard, we know that we know him. We've got to know and understand that we know God. If we keep his commandments, that's how it is. And part of his commandments is what? The Sabbath and the holy days. And what did he say about the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Remember this day. Yes, indeed. Verse 4, the one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. On the other hand, now this is what we need to emphasize and understand. If anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. Because, brethren, that's why the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we become perfected in Christ through the Spirit of God, through growing, through changing, through overcoming, through repenting, through yielding to God in every way. Okay? By this means, we know that we are in him. Now notice verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. Now we'll see that in just a little bit. We have that obligation. Do you do that? When was the last time you studied through the Gospels to see how we are to live the way Jesus said? Well, you might go back and do that. All right, now let's come to the second epistle of John, and let's see how he clarifies this. This is really quite something when we understand it, when we put it together, when we realize what it's telling us. Second epistle of John. Just a short one, only 13 verses in it. All right? And he says, let's read it here, beginning in verse 3. Let's go back to verse 1, because it's telling us an awful lot, even in these 13 verses. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Now, this is symbolic of the truth, because we are the chosen lady, whom I love in truth, and not I alone, but also all those who have known the truth. Now, I want you to understand how many times he mentions truth. Then what is truth? Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, your way is truth. Sanctify them in your truth. Psalm 119 says, your law is truth, your commandments are truth, all your precepts concerning all things are true. That's how we are to be walking, you see. Verse 2, for the sake of the truth that is dwelling in us, we have the spirit of truth. Now you combine all of those things together, and through the power of that, we are to put away sin. We are to become unleavened in Christ, and shall be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace shall be with us from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now notice, 1, 2, 3, 4 times he mentions truth right there. How important is it? What was happening then to these people? They were beginning not to walk in the truth, but hear the faithful ones he's commending. Now notice what he says. Verse 4, I rejoiced exceedingly that I have found among your children those who are walking in truth exactly as we have received commandment from the Father. And if God's word is truth, the Passover is truth, the days of unleavened bread are truth, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles are truth, right? And those are all the things that the world rejects. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I'm writing a new commandment to you, but that which we have observed from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love of God. He defines it again, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, exactly as you have heard from the beginning, that you might walk in it. Now, notice the conflict that they have. The same conflict that we have today. Because many deceivers have entered into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is the spirit of the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, there are a lot of people who don't believe that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. They are Antichrist. Now, they may look nice, they may sound nice, they may act nice, they may behave nice, but they're not of God. We need to understand that. This is the spirit of the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out for yourselves. That's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. Take stock of yourself. See where you fall short. See what sins you still have to overcome and put out, in order that we may not lose the things we have accomplished, but that we may receive a full reward. Now, let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote for us concerning how we need to live. Let's first of all come back here to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and let's see how Paul considered himself toward the world. Now, when you understand what the whole operation of baptism is, we are conjoined to the sacrifice of Christ. And this is why Christ inspired Paul to write it this way. Let's pick it up this way. Galatians, not 5, but 6. Galatians 6. But as for me, may it never be that I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, do you count yourself that way? Crucified to the world? Let's see what he says here in chapter 2. What he says about being crucified and what it is concerning the way of God. Chapter 2. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. Indeed, it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me. That's the true whole spirit of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Christ living in us. For the life that I now am now living in the flesh, I live by faith, that very faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's something. Now let's see how then we are to live. Let's see what we are to do. So take this as a model for the whole feast of unleavened bread. Now let's come to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see what it tells us that we are to do. We've already seen we are to put out leaven. But leaven is a type of sin, and we are to keep the feast of unleavened bread in sincerity and in truth, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness. Now let's come to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 22. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Here are the instructions that follow right along with the whole meaning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread spiritually. That concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man. As the old man is crucified, Christ said that he died for us. Paul said that when he was baptized, he died. Paul said that when he was baptized, he was crucified to the world, and the world to him. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, because we have to change, we have to grow, we have to overcome, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where conversion takes place, in the mind, in the heart, which then motivates us to live God's way. Now hold your place here, and we'll come back. Let's come to Romans, the 12th chapter, and let's see how we are to be renewed in our minds. And it says there, in the righteousness and true spiritual holiness. Come to Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's see what it tells us. Romans 12 and verse 1 now. Here we go. Romans 12 and verse 1. I exhort you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. And that is to love God, have a relationship with God, keep his commandments in the spirit, and so forth. Verse 2. Just like he wrote to the Ephesians, do not conform yourself to this world. Though we live in the world, we're not of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove by living and doing what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. So yes, we can do the things that please God. How many people are trying to overcome and change like those who have the Holy Spirit of God, who know the truth of the Passover, who know the truth of the holy days and the feast of God? Not very many. Is God pleased that we do so? Yes, indeed. Now come back here to Ephesians 4. See? Verse 23 again. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, united with the Spirit of God in you, and that you put on the new man, and that new man is Christ. You learn from the Word of God. You practice the things of God, the things that Jesus have taught. Now notice verse 24, concerning the new man that we are to put on, which according to God, and that's according to God's way, God's Spirit, God's Word, God's truth, Jesus Christ in us, the Father in us, is created. So you see, the reason that we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread is to let God create in us the character qualities that we need to have. And we'll see how we do that in just a bit. Which is created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. Now that's quite a profound thing, isn't it? Now, here's what we are to do. We are to overcome. And you say, well, boy, I've got a long way to go. So does everyone. That's why we have the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread every year. That's why we need to be renewed every year. See, God made us so we can be renewed. God made us so we can be redeemed. God made us so we can repent and yield to Him and get rid of those sins. But we have our part. Therefore, verse 25, let each one put away lies and speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. We have to change our character. When you become angry, do not sin. Now, that's a hard one. Takes a long time to come to that. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because it causes you to not forgive and to relive and relive and relive and relive something you need to put out of your mind and let God handle it. All right. Because why? Neither give place to the devil, because see, we are the devil's enemy number one. We need to understand that. He wants to come along with his subtleties and niceties to try and get us. And if we give in an opening because we're sinning and we're going along with these sins and we're enjoying these sins and we're not trying to cast them out, the devil is right there saying, oh yes, that's okay. You know, go right on. So don't give place to the devil. It also tells us that if you're angry all the time, you're giving place to the devil. Who does that come from? All right, verse 28. Let the one who stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so that he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good and needful for edification. And edification is building up, so that it may give grace to those who hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By trying to go our ways. By trying to hold on to just a little bit of sin because you're still comfortable with it. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you, together with all malice. Now here's how we are to live. Here is the eating of Christ and eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, so that we may develop the character of God. Here's how we are to live. Verse 32, be kind and tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another even as God has also in Christ forgiven you. Remember this. You want forgiveness? Never say, I'll never forgive that person. That's the one you need to forgive, even though it's hard. And even though you got to swallow a lot of pride. And even though they haven't come to you to ask forgiveness, you need to forgive them before God and clean your slate. Put them in God's hands. Let him take care of them. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Here's what we are to do. Here is how we are to walk. Here is what we are to follow. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, because we're his sons and daughters, correct? Yes, we're called to eternal life. Is that correct? Yes. We're called the children of God. And behold, what glorious love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. We're to imitate God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us, and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now notice, putting out sin. Don't get involved in it. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, do not permit it even to be named among you as is fitting for saints. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not becoming, but instead thanksgiving. So then he gives a warning here. And we need the warnings, don't we? Yes. Verse 5, for know this, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. You want eternal life? This shows us what to do and what to avoid. Number 6, do not let anyone deceive you with vain words. Prove all things by the Scriptures. Hold fast to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. For because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be joint partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, and develop the character of love and hope and faith and joy and temperance and goodness and kindness and meekness. Against such there's no law. And as Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let's finish right here. Walk as children of light, because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And then have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. So, brethren, this is how we come out of the world which can be called spiritual Egypt. We are redeemed by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have been given the Spirit of God. We have been given His grace to live His way. And now, this is our part, as shown through the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to grow, to change, to overcome, to have that relationship with God, and to walk in the light and the truth of His Word. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.